He left the compartment, and the NCOs issued us ammo, K-rations, and salt tablets. "Well," said one man, "that scuttlebutt we heard during maneuvers on Guadalcanal about how this blitz gonna be rough but fast must be true if the division CG says so." "San Antone," muttered a Texan. "Imagine, only 4, maybe 3 days for a battle star. Hell, I can put up with anything for no longer than that." He reflected the feelings of most of us, and we were encouraged by the commanding general's announcement confirming the oft-repeated rough but fast rumors we had been hearing. In a sealed letter, opened D-Day minus one by civilian news correspondents assigned to cover the battle, Major General William H. Rupertus predicted that Peleliu would fall in 4 days after a short, tough fight. His forecast colored the tactical thinking ashore for much of the next month. Because of his optimism, many of the 36 newsmen never went ashore. Of those who did, only 6 stayed through the critical early stages of the battle. Thus, the medium's eyes saw little of what actually happened. We kept trying to convince ourselves that the CG knew what he was talking about. We all dreaded a long, protracted campaign that would drag on beyond endurance, like Guadalcanal and Cape Gloucester. Our morale was excellent, and we were trained for anything, no matter how rough. But we prayed that we could get it over with in a hurry. We sat on our sacks, cleaned our weapons, packed our combat packs, and squared away our gear. Throughout history, combat troops of various armies have carried packs weighing many pounds into action. But we traveled light, carrying only absolute necessities, the way fast-moving Confederate infantry did during the Civil War. My combat pack contained a folded poncho, 1 pair of socks, a couple of boxes of K-rations, salt tablets, extra carbine ammo, 20 rounds, 2 hand grenades, a fountain pen, a small bottle of ink, writing paper in a waterproof wrapper, a toothbrush, a small tube of toothpaste, some photos of my folks along with some letters in a waterproof wrapper, and a dungaree cap. My other equipment and clothing were a steel helmet covered with a camouflaged cloth covering, heavy green dungaree jacket with a Marine emblem, and USMC dyed above it on the left breast pocket, trousers of the same material, an old toothbrush for cleaning my carbine, thin cotton socks, ankle-high boondockers, and light tan canvas leggings, into which I tucked my trouser legs. Because of the heat, I wore no skivvy drawers or shirt. Like many men, I fastened a bronze Marine emblem to one collar for good luck.